everyone. Welcome again to Expert View. In this episode now, we're going to look at digital reporting requirements in a bit more detail. Today, we're meeting with Vincent Manning and Andrew Finnegan from Zendesk, who are going to take us through the current situation with DRR. They're going to talk about what's coming down the line. They're going to talk about the impact for Zendesk and wider business. So, Vincent, Andrew, welcome to Expert View.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate the opportunity.
And I'm going to just hand the floor over to you now to go through your presentation.
Thanks very much. So just briefly to introduce ourselves, my name is Vincent Manning and I'm a senior tax manager at Zendesk. I've been with the company over 3 years and my areas of responsibility cover everything tax related in the EMEA region.
Hi everyone, I'm Andrew Finnegan. I'm the senior finance director for EMEA. I'm with Zendesk just over 4 years, and my areas of responsibility are for accounting, EMEA, and then for global payroll. And just to give you kind of some background on Zendesk, Zendesk is a SaaS company, so we provide software as a service which allows our customers to interact seamlessly with their customers across a number of channels, whether that be email, chat, voice, social media. The company was founded in 2007 in Denmark and is now based in San Francisco.
And as a group, as you can see on the slide, we have a presence in all regions, which is growing year by year. And in parallel, our revenue as a group is growing year on year and looks to continue growing into the future. So onto the area of digital reporting. As most of you will know, when we talk about digital reporting, specifically we mean continuous transaction controls and periodic transaction controls, and I'm sure most of you have come across one or both of those at this stage. And heavily linked to the area of digital reporting is the area of e-invoicing, which almost goes hand in hand with CTCs. And again, as you will all know, the focus for digital reporting is controlling that VAT gap and minimizing that VAT gap as much as possible, and all fits into the EU's action plan from 2020. But without any single approach to digital reporting, it's currently a bit of a wild, wild west at the minute in terms of what different countries are doing on the area of digital reporting. And we'll see that on the next slide.
And Vincent, before we move on, just a quick question. You mentioned there it's the wild, wild west and that the approaches are different in different countries. Are you seeing more countries focused on digital first, or are you still seeing some countries being very, very manual and less reliant on digital first?
Again, it's kind of following the same theme in terms of a very varied approach in terms of what countries are doing. And I guess, you know, if you look, different countries are taking different approaches, different companies are taking different approaches to the area of digital reporting and how they tackle it. And similarly, tax authorities in terms of tax audits and things like that are taking very different approaches. And some, as we've seen ourselves over the past few years, have been quite digitalized in terms of looking from that data directly from your system, almost a data dump that they'll just take away and comb through and harvest and analyze using their software. And then in other cases, we've seen the old school kind of paper-based audits where it's almost handing them over invoices and all your paper documentation. So yeah, it's really quite a mixed bag in our experience. And that kind of leads on to the next slide, where we show the different countries and who have implemented CTCs and PTCs so far. And as you can see, even under each heading, there's different approaches that countries have taken. So, you know, if you're coming into this fresh to look at it, you kind of, it's a little bit overwhelming in terms of where do you start? Is there any one way to get on top of all of these different requirements? And it's actually quite difficult because each country has their own I guess, specific requirements and different approaches to digital reporting. So it's just one that, yeah, it's quite difficult to get your arms around it.
And in terms of something I've noticed, Vincent, especially as it relates to Zendesk, and as we've moved more into digital first, is our reliance, both from a tax perspective and even from an accounting perspective, on IT and on the systems that we use. So, I mean, what's your take in terms of what, you know, a tax team is going to look like in the future? Is there going to be a need for more IT-based skills, or will it still be the traditional kind of model in terms of tax specialists?
I think it's kind of moving towards that hybrid approach, I guess, really, where people understand the tax technicals, the kind of fundamentals of tax, but also have that understanding of systems and IT and being able to marry the two together, so that you have a system that can operate in an automated way and meet these various requirements, and even just to simplify and bring in efficiencies in terms of your tax reporting, but also that it's fundamentally correct and that it's the every return you file is still accurate. So it's something, yeah, we're trying to get a handle on in terms of how do we upskill, but also, like you said, with getting resources and working with IT and getting their buy-in, so that it's a very much a collaborative approach in terms of digital reporting, that on the IT side, the system is doing what it should, but also on the tax side, that it's accurate, it's compliant with all tax laws where we need to report our taxes.
And something I've noticed, Vincent, is around the area of planning and resources, that because we're reliant on IT and IT resources are finite, that we have to be more structured in terms of what we want to do and when we want to do it and get it on the roadmap. So you almost need to be thinking 12, 18 months in advance and, you know, getting your resources booked in order to implement something that you need. There's less resources there to be reactive to changes that come down the line.
No, absolutely. And we see that, yeah, across all areas. And I find you need to have a kind of almost a clear picture of what the requirements are and what you need, and that you can really, you know, sell that to the IT team or bring it to them as a project that's very clear and very laid out in terms of the requirements. And like you said, then getting that on the roadmap for maybe at this stage, you know, maybe some point next year or 12 months down the road or 18 months, that, but it's all very clearly laid out in terms of what you're going to need and what are the requirements and what's the resource that you need from IT. I suppose that leads us into our example of our first kind of interaction with digital reporting. This was the UK's Making Tax Digital for VAT, which came in 2019 and ran up, well, is still continuing, but the soft landing period ended in 2021. So I'm sure most of you will have come across this in some form already. But I guess for us, it was the first time where we needed to step back and I guess look at one of these digital reporting requirements and see, well, how are we going to approach it? What's our system currently capable of? Where are the gaps? Where are the kind of quick wins? And, you know, really kind of formulate a plan and get the buy-in from the different stakeholders that we needed. So in this case, for us, it was working kind of cross-functionally. I know we just mentioned about working with our IT team, but it was also engaging our procurement team, our accounting team, you know, as well as IT, in terms of understanding kind of the full end-to-end process and seeing, okay, well, how are things working currently? What's the process? And then what are our systems? What are our systems doing at the minute? Where are there areas that we could easily, you know, with a few tweaks without making any changes that are too fundamental, but just kind of make little improvements and then seeing how that flows through to the end process. So there's a lot of discussions and various ideas thrown out in terms of, you know, how we could approach this. But for us, we settled on enhancing the use of tax codes in our AP system and in our ERP system to actually, at the point of entry, that invoices are almost categorized at that point and assigned a tax code, and then that will just flow through our system when it comes to our reporting. Then, you know, we have the categorizations, and then to kind of collate that into a final VAT return is quite straightforward and is something that was automatable.
And Vincent, many people, you know, listening to this will have a similar structure to ourselves in that they use a shared services center, and a lot of the high velocity transactions are entered in their shared services center. What approach did you take to ensure that the accuracy of the entries going into our ERP system was high? Because I'm always conscious of, you know, garbage in, garbage out. If we're not doing things right at the front end, then the VAT return that we get at the back end will be nonsense and will create more problems for us. So how did you go about ensuring that there was a high level of confidence that the VAT returns were going to be accurate?
Yeah, and that was something we kind of had to really think through, because, you know, like you said, we have a shared services center and a lot of people there aren't VAT experts. So you can't push very technical, responsibility onto them in terms of determining the correct VAT treatment of invoices. But at the same time, they are kind of the first point of contact, or they're the people putting in the data. So, you know, it's finding that balance between giving them the right tools to apply the correct tax codes, but also not putting too much pressure on them that might be too much in terms of their kind of technical capabilities. For us, it was a case of predefining the tax codes that would apply to each invoice, but on top of that, giving a high level of training to all of the AP specialists and giving them documentation and resources for them to be able to say, okay, well, broadly, I understand the concept and the process, and I have enough. I'm well enough equipped to be able to see if a tax code looks funny and if it's something that maybe needs to investigate. But otherwise, a lot of that pressure is actually off of the person, that they know the code is predefined and it's more a verification from their side, which we found was a much better approach. And then, you know, we had different controls in place as well in terms of the levels of review and audit, in terms of making sure that those the codes that were being applied were the correct ones, just to make sure that the accuracy was 100%. For us, it's something we've had in place for a few years now, and we found it's been a massive success. And, you know, even just in terms of numbers, we're finding it's taking I think 60% less time to prepare the VAT return, which over a few returns over a year is a big time saving. And we've learned a lot from it. We've kind of tweaked it as we've gone along, and it's something we're looking at rolling out to our other subsidiary entities, even though the same requirements might not be there. But it's about improving the data that we have. And to your point, Andrew, about garbage in, garbage out, just really getting robust VAT data into our system and being able to leverage that. So down the road, as we meet more and more of these requirements, we're in a much better position to be able to actually adapt to them and implement the necessary changes to comply with the requirements. But going forward then, in terms of how do we plan for the future around digital reporting in Zendesk, obviously, it's very difficult to look too far ahead, but both internally and externally, there's bound to be changes internally in terms of the different countries that we're in, where we have different entities, where we're set up, and maybe the activities of some of those entities changes over time, which changes the VAT look of those entities. And externally, you know, tax law is continuing to evolve and change, and more countries are introducing legislation around digital reporting. And, you know, even in Ireland, where where our VAT return hasn't changed in a long time, it's likely something that eventually will change and become more digitalized, especially as revenue have digitalized things like PAYE, real-time reporting. It's inevitable that eventually VAT will go down the same route. But again, that's looking at maybe one country and looking at each country in isolation. But without that global framework or global approach to digital reporting, makes it much more difficult and to really leverage any efficiencies across countries in terms of the approach that you take to digital reporting. It's kind of ad hoc, one by one, facing each one. So I guess the hope would be that there would be a harmonized approach and that there's one way to approach digital reporting. And then for us, you know, we can, like we've talked about, having that roadmap for IT of having maybe one global project that will allow us to meet all of these various requirements. But yeah, in the meantime, that kind of wraps up this case study that we had that we found very useful and hopefully sets us up well for the future. But now I'll pass it over to you, Andrew, to talk more about the wider tax landscape and how we approach it.
Yeah, before we move on to kind of the volatile world that is international tax, just what I would like to kind of make an observation in terms of that there is no one solution that fits all, and that the approach that we've taken in Zendesk is very much of a hybrid model where we educate ourselves internally, but we also leverage our third party partners such as Taxback International, so that we get, you know, because we don't have all the expertise or the knowledge. So we use our partners and we use our internal knowledge, and that's how we feel comfortable that we can stay as on top of the tax landscape as we can. So moving on to the next topic, which is, you know, living in a VUCA world. And to give you some context, the terminology VUCA came from the Army War College in the US, and it was during the 1980s, and they were moving from, you know, a world where it was a Cold War and they knew who their adversaries were, to a world where, you know, there was a lot of unknowns. And that's very much where the international tax kind of arena sits. And Vincent mentioned it earlier about the Wild West, and that's a very true statement. What I found is, and I think observations that probably that everyone has made, is that, you know, the accounting landscape changes gradually, and you get probably 2 years notice of an upcoming change. You can all do your due diligence, understand how it affects you, plan, prepare, but the tax landscape is very much more volatile. And we need, as kind of leaders within our organizations, to prepare for those unknowns and to put in place structures, whether that be system related or whether that would be team and personnel related, that allows us to, you know, plan for the future and to be able to respond in a timely manner when, you know, there's a sudden unannounced, you know, VAT change in a particular country, and we've all seen examples of that in recent months and years where, you know, rules and regulations change almost, it feels like, overnight. So in terms of, you know, giving you kind of a more tangible kind of example of how we in Zendesk approach it, we have a slide here which talks about tax controversy. And we have, you know, we put this in place in order to help us prepare for future audits, because what we found is that we're targeted across a number of different tax headings by tax authorities in different countries. And rather than wait and, you know, engage with one of the big four to help us respond to an audit query, that we use our philosophy around tax controversy to help us prepare so that we have first and second and third line defenses in place before we the audit even comes and before we even receive the notification that there's an audit coming. So to give you an example, we use our own product, the Zendesk product that we sell to our customers, and we use that to for our MDF structure. So we raise ticket if we have a tax change, we raise a ticket in our system, we give access to that ticket to multiple stakeholders, we gather feedback from multiple stakeholders, so that even if the decision we make is not agreed with by a relevant tax authority, that they will agree with the approach that we took to make that decision, that we have it all well documented, we have the advice we received from our third party partners, we have documented the decision making process that we used to come up with the decision that we made. And this is an example of how in this VUCA world that we live in, that we have to be as prepared as possible and have to anticipate, you know, what is likely to happen down the road. So I suppose the points that we want to make in this VUCA world that we live in is be prepared, have your defense mechanisms in place, understand the why, you know, educate the business. And, you know, a point that I'm very passionate about is get the balance right between systems and people. You know, as we move digital first, there is this tendency to become slaves to the IT system. We press a button, we get a VAT return. Great. But we lose the knowledge sometimes in terms of how VAT operates and why VAT operates. So I think something that, as I said, I'm very passionate about is that you need to not only rely on the system, but understand how the system operates. And be able to spot when the system isn't operating in the way that you anticipated.
And just to jump in there, Andrew, and ask a question, I suppose, on the area of digital reporting. And I know we've all seen different countries can be strict in different areas. And I suppose it's another element to consider in terms of tax compliance. You know, you have, there's an expectation that a tax return that you file is correct and the positions you've taken are correct. But this is, I guess, another element in terms of actually filing the report digitally. And some countries may actually view that equally as important as actually filing a correct tax return in terms of filing it digitally in a specified format. So with your VUCA hat on, I suppose, how do you view kind of factoring that in and kind of, you know, another complication to add into the tax mix?
Yes, Vincent, a very good kind of question. And, you know, there is no one right answer. The tax landscape is absolutely changing. We are moving digital first. We need to invest in our systems to make sure that we're compliant and that we're meeting the expectations of the tax authorities that we're working with, and at the same time getting the balance right to ensure that we understand why we're doing what we're doing and we're not just doing it for the sake of doing it. So that's, you know, that would be my response to your question.
Yeah, no, totally, and I fully agree. Thanks, Andrew. And I think that brings to the end of our session on digital reporting. We hope you found it insightful and informative.
Vincent, Andrew, thanks so much for such a wonderful presentation, and thanks for joining us again at the Expert View.
Thank you for listening to TBI Expert View. As always, if you enjoyed the conversation, please share and subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. Bye for now.